He's definitely brutal. He's always savage. And you're definitely getting wrecked.
My viewers and haters, one is most pleased to inform one's subjects here on the YouTube channel of EsportsBet's first time deposit bonus of up to 50% on 100 of your United States dollar Tether tokens. Now, carry on as you were, plebeians. Now, FaZe won ESL Pro League Season 17, completing the Intel Grand Slam Season 4, winning $1 million and further immortalizing their lineup in history as one of the best to ever play. But they didn't actually come into this event as favourites for most people in the scene. I actually always had them there as a favourite and one of the teams that should at least be considered with the G2s and the Heroics and the Navis that you expect to win the event. But a lot of people had bailed on them. Everyone was saying, well, the last time they won an event was like almost a year ago, because it was in July when they won IEM Cologne, obviously, before the player break. But you have to consider, it's not quite as simple as that, is it? Like, that's a bit reductive as an initial statement. They were two rounds from winning Blast 4 finals, over Heroic, by the way, at the end of last year. Then they were in the semis of the Blast World, which obviously G2 ended up winning in quite impressive fashion. They were losing these tournaments to the champions, by the way. And they looked legit. They looked like almost as good a team. It's why my take on Hot Take Point Made, which, by the way, has aged beautifully now, that episode and the past ones, where I said I did think that FaZe would win the Grand Slam and that they would do it before G2 and all that jazz, right? I said I thought that FaZe was only 5% worse than when they were at their peak and winning the titles last year around this time. Because the eye test checks out. You look at the maps they're good on. You look at the way that Carrigan calls. You look at the situations they're getting into. You look at the individual performances. And it was just losing a few clutches here and there. It was just blowing the odd 14-14 round. The kind that they always used to win early in 2022. But I don't believe that it's a case that, like, you were just the best, so you win every lucky or questionable scenario. I think what happened was they had an insane amount of, a little bit of luck, but also they were in a situation where individual genius could allow them to win these situations. If even just that player has the odd round off, a slightly worse performance, someone doesn't teamwork the same way in a 2vx, you just lose those rounds. Or you have a team like G2, blow everyone out the server with firepower, start to take over and dominate Nuke. You have people like Heroic do amazing counter calls and have big players from people in their teams. You can see how Liquid obviously has firepower to have crazy upsets even if they don't tend to win. You can see how FaZe could be denied these titles even though they were still in position to have won a lot of these titles. If anything, shows how amazing they are that even on their down period, they're still making semis and finals and they're still going head to head with the best teams in the world and taking them right to the limit. That's pretty legit, right? So instead, people looked to G2 or Heroic or maybe a miracle run from Liquid or Vitality, the teams we expect to be the big dark horses. But G2, Heroic and Liquid and Vitality all eliminated by others, and Vitality actually beat FaZe in the tournament. It's just it was in the group stage. So I will say, a legit knock someone could make against FaZe's win is they didn't actually beat any of the other big contenders of the period. Like Dark, at this point, because of their where they finished a lot of the other lands and their actual world ranking. Look, Cloud9's a very dangerous team. They certainly should probably be at worst a dark horse, but they're not a true contender. They're not like the biggest team in the world. Yeah, they played great Counter-Strike here to get to this point, and obviously were able to beat the likes of G2, but they didn't show it in the final. They weren't as good in the final. Well, you look at FaZe's run. They beat Rooster. Who cares? They beat Nip. Could be good, but hasn't really shown it so far. And they lost to Vitality in the group stage decider, but that meant that you both go to the playoffs. FaZe just goes earlier. Even that, by the way, is classic FaZe, if you know FaZe last year. Because minus IEM Cologne, the tournament that they won at the end of their run winning championships, every other event they attended in the group stage, at some point, they would lose to another contender. That might be in a BO1 if it's the major. It was a best of three if it was the other tournaments, but then they would come back and they would win the tournament anyway. So that's actually the way FaZe tends to win. So then what happened was they were able to go into the playoffs where they beat Furia 2-0. Sketchy, amazing. Furia was even there at that point. They beat Force 2-1, which was close. Force played great and Force had an amazing run. They were very hot at this tournament. Cinderella run of the year so far. Na'Vi was 2-1.
That was a dominant third map performance. That was the Mirage blowout, pretty much, where, yes, they had some comebacks because of people like St. Paul, but didn't matter. It was always going to be phases. And then in the final, they won 3-1 over Cloud9. And quite frankly, it could have been 3-0. And they looked, it wasn't like it was like comfortable, but there were definitely some problems on the side of Cloud9 that allowed FaZe, in my opinion, to be able to win the tournament, and especially the final, without too much resistance. By the way, they even won on the map. Everyone said Cloud9 had the best chance to win on Ancient. Forza was very hot this tournament, along with Ents and Cloud9. Na'Vi, let's be real, they're somewhat back. If you look at how Simple's played, Electronics levels going up. Bitstel hasn't quite figured it out. The NPL thing's terrible. But aside from that, they're at least getting the frag in again. And Cloud9 was just blazing. Quite frankly, I think it's only the pressure of the final, even though there wasn't a big crowd, that meant that that T-side calling, that was some of the worst T-side calling you'll ever see from the final. It was really, really bad stuff. And the stars of the Cloud9 team just couldn't last through the whole best of five. By the end of the best of five, Axiom was -1, Shiro was -4. You expect these guys to be fragging out like Twists, Europe and Brocky, etc., but they just weren't able to over the whole series, and especially that Inferno game. That seemed to just absolutely sap Shiro's superstar energy, right? He just couldn't get his AWP ever going. By the way, just as an aside, another unsuccessful denial of the Grand Slam. Everyone who gets to the point where they can win the Grand Slam wins the Grand Slam if they are in that final. That's just happened every single time. Astralis, Team Liquid, Na'Vi, and now FaZe. No one's ever been able to deny and earn the $100,000. Now, in terms of how FaZe won it, first of all, Rops is the MVP for me. If I look with the eye test, I look at like impact rounds, I look at like the who was needed to save a round, who was putting up the big frags, who was fragging and keeping you in games where other people struggle, it was Rops for me. Individually, I actually think he's now approaching his career peak again, the way he was at the end of Mouse, when Carrigan was still there and he was still really good. I think he's actually becoming, this is why I always thought when Carrigan got with him, and especially when they changed his role in 2019, like this guy could be unbelievable. Because I see him as like the next Nico. Now, he hasn't yet developed fully into that, but I always thought we saw how good Carrigan and Nico were. Imagine if this works, because the difference is Rops respects Carrigan. Rops is totally on board with it. You notice all of them are. None of them question him in the way that the old big stars were, because the problem was, like, look, Nico's Nico. He hadn't had the big success before. But you look at people like obviously Olaf Meister's won everything with Fnatic already, and a totally different style of team. You've had Guardian already be with people like Zeus and other great players. And by the way, Guardian respected Carrigan as well, I can tell you right now. So difference is, it's also the relationships key there. So Rops was amazing at this tournament. Twists and Brokey, if you have different criteria, you could make a legit call for either of these to be the MVP as well, which, by the way, shows you they are truly back to doing it by committee, and they all showed up. It's also why, in all discussions about how great some of these players are, Carrigan, the IGL, can get a lot of credit for these titles, but it doesn't make sense, in my opinion, to compare the three in the committee as though they're the one that won that trophy and then some godlike player. Like, for example, is Brokey a greater player than Nico because Brokey's won the major and the grand slam? No, because the difference is, if Nico won it, maybe not with this G2, it would be because Nico was the reason, the main star, probably the MVP of the whole thing. When Brokey does it, sometimes Rops is the MVP, sometimes Twists is, sometimes Brokey is himself, sometimes Rain is. Well, you know what? What a fabulous set of teammates, and what a fabulous team to have that happen within, right? It's a different ball game. It's why I don't really see anyone do this, but I think you'd be a fool to say that, like, Scottie Pippen is better than LeBron James because Scottie Pippen won six titles. Like, he sort of did, but not really in the conversation of how you're meaning LeBron won titles. So I think that's always when people get in the weeds and they, quite frankly, waste everyone's time. So, in my opinion, the part people will also miss is, I've talked about the mega performances of the big three and the stars. Oh yeah, don't worry, Rain put in another of his big tournament. He doesn't do this on a lot of the small ones. He just seems to pick the big ones somehow. An OP, super OP, I'm your fourth best player performance, where he gets a 1.12 rating. In my opinion, the only people who match him in that role in the modern era is JKS on G2, when he frags out, I mean, he's the MVP, he kind of eats it, and Perfecto on Na'Vi. I mean, even now, but at the moment, the joke is now he's the second or third best player, but back when they had Electronic, Bit and Simple all fragging out, then Perfecto was just too much at the fourth best position. He was going to give you too much production, win too many rounds, and just going to put you over the top. So it's no wonder when they were on their game here, yeah, they won the whole tournament and they got the Grand Slam. You look at their map pool, it's fantastic again. In 2023, they have a positive win rate on five maps. Nuke, Mirage, Inferno, Overpass, Ancient, and they're 1-1 on Anubis, which is the map in theory people should be trying to punish pick into them, right? Obviously, the seventh map is Vertigo, which is a perma anyway, but they still float it versus the other teams that have the perma of Vertigo, so they're even doing all the veto correctly. You go look at their map records. They haven't lost on Inferno. They're still the best team in the world on that map. And by the way, they're one of the best of all time on that map. They are, over the last 12 months on that map, 28-7. That is fucking 80%, guys. That is just impossible. Like, there's no way that can be that good. Remember, this is Inferno. Those are like Prime Astralis numbers. That's just too good. And also, just a map that perfectly fits Carrigan's T-side calling style. Nuke, they're still elite on 4-2. Obviously, they've lost to Vitality in that OT game. G2 tends to win it against them. Ancient, they're 5-3 on, even though people think it's like a punish you can pick into them. Mirage, they're 4-2 on, because they'll always be good on that map, and it's amazing for the trio. Overpass, they're 3-2 on. Again, you think you can get them on that? You can sometimes, but they're going to have a crack at beating you on and 2-0 on you. And then Anubis, they're 1-1. Quite frankly, Carrigan is still the best in-game leader in the world. He has been now for all of last year, all of this year. You could maybe even say, maybe at the end of the year before that, who knows? You'd have to go and look, right? The Cologne run was certainly epic. I don't think he quite had the right teammates elsewhere. I remember he had Olaf instead of Rops. People forget that. It was instead of Rops. That's who would be in this position instead. By the way, shout out to everyone who said Rops wasn't the key missing piece and this wouldn't complete the team. Y'all don't have an eye test. Just maybe learn a thing or two. This is my first rodeo. Now, winning the Grand Slam is enormous because they are the fourth team to ever complete the Grand Slam. Astralis in their prime won in 2018. Team Liquid with their best ever lineup in their almost era in 2019. Na'Vi, when we got back to LAN, dominated in 2021, but people forget three of the four events were online events. So that one's the most fugazi and almost should be just discounted from this list, quite frankly. I mean, EPL at this one's a bit bullshit in the sense it's a small LAN without a big crowd. Okay, at least it's a LAN though, mate. It's not some online tournament. So I think that the Na'Vi one's mad sus. Then FaZe Now wins it to end CSGO. Okay, that's awesome. Helps make this particular lineup even more historically great. Only the Astralis and Na'Vi lineups, in terms of the five-man lineup, were actually able to win a major as well. And technically, Flamey was one of the titles originally at one point, but then I don't know how that counted because they had to like count the... I guess you didn't have to count Katowice by the end. Anyway, you get how that works. That one was a little bit sus because I think he counted for the first title or something. So maybe that does scuff the five-man lineup, but it's still close enough. And this team has now completed, which people haven't been paying attention to because you're still on that narrative about Carrigan being a choker and a loser. Oh, don't bother noticing, by the way, that he's just completed the Prestige Accomplishments Trophy Cabinet. He has a Major, a Grand Slam, Katowice title and Cologne title. By the way, only Na'Vi also did all those things. Astralis never won a Cologne event ever. Make whatever excuse you want. There were incredibly, these were some of the most important tournaments of Astralis's time period, including their era, and they never won a single one. I'm not saying that doesn't make them the greatest of all time. You have to live with that though, and no excuse will deny it. Now, a reminder, Grand Slam did only exist from 2018 onwards, so we're not counting this against the great teams of the years before. They didn't have the chance to win a Grand Slam. In fact, someone went back and looked like, would you have won a Grand Slam if there'd have been one back then? Like, I think like one or two of the teams would have. By the way, speaking of just winning stuff for free based on actions you were taking anyway, if you were to log into Esports Bet, you get 600 DJT every single day for free. And you can use those to bet in contests like the World's Prediction Series Spring Contest, where you can win prizes that are in crypto. And also there's like a crypto exchange program. Go look on the website to find out more. Now for Carrigan, this is huge. Because first of all, he actually was the guy who somewhat let the first Grand Slam get away from him. His FaZe Clan could have won the first Grand Slam. They were at three notches. And two of those were with stand-ins. He had the IM Sydney over Astralis with Exist, and then he had ESL Belo Horizonte over like the Mouse Spots with Nothing instead of Oscar when he had Kroben as the stand-in. So to me, this title is just yet another way that one of the potential GOATs builds a GOAT resume. Because mate, I don't think people understand this. When you say it, but he's already won one major. No, he won one major with a totally international team. Glaive won four majors with all Danish players. If you can't see that there's a difference between those majors, how hard they are and the circumstances, I don't think you're even trying. So he won a major and a Grand Slam with an international lineup. No one in history's ever done that, ever. He had zero world number one contender players over that time span, by the way. Glaive had Device, mate. Blade had Simple. Who did he have? He had Rops, he had Brokey, and he had Twists. And you can just go look at the numbers, you can go look at the ratings, you can go look at the rankings. None of these players are in contention for best player in the world. He had zero GOAT contenders. I've just told you. Blade and Simple, and Glaive had... I mean, I'm saying Blade like he's the IGL, but you know what I mean. And obviously Glaive a device who was winning all the MVPs. This is 8 years of contending for the top spot in CSGO. Anyone who thinks it, yeah, that he had more chances and at the end he just won. No, no, Glaive had loads of chances too. What are you talking about? Why is Glaive just being chilling? By that logic, by the way, what's this thing of like, oh, but you win and then you don't do anything? No, that's losers do that. I made that point in that message years ago. Great players keep going. They keep reinventing themselves, keep coming back, keep trying to win. So no, that excuse doesn't work. You don't say, oh, if you just like kept playing and competing for all those years, showing you're excellent, you just didn't win the trophy. And at the end, after all the evolution and change and all the new people and the level rising, at the end, when you win at the end, like yours is like less meaningful than somebody who just won really early and then did fuck all after. No, it's the other way around, moron. It's the other way around. It's way harder to do it the way Carrigan did, to stay on top all those years battling for the top and then get to the very top at the end. There's no excuse you can have against him, mate. So the point is, he's had all those years of reinventing, revising his play, his style, how he works with teammates. I've always thought, I'll just say it straight up, if we're talking about just who is the best at the role, not accomplishments, not what they did with like how many titles they won, not like where they were ranked by people. You just look at who plays the position best. In the same way as I think the best quarterback ever in the NFL is Peyton Manning by how he plays the position. I think Carrigan is the best in-game leader ever. These are the two guys that you could just give any group of players and they'd make it work. And they'd only make it work, they'd probably be pretty good, as Carrigan showed with Mouse. Like, I think it's just been shown right there. I mean, remember, as I said, he chucked out Olof, put in Rops, and they became the best team in the world. The best team in the world. Before that, they were like, what, the 8th best team in the world? This guy is just unbelievable. I mean, look what he's done to people like Twists and the renaissance of his career. If you took you until now to go, yeah, actually, Carrigan is an all-time great and GOAT contender, then you don't know that he's an all-time great and GOAT contender. You just saw a trophy get lifted and your brain goes, now I will say it. Because you apparently weren't watching. You don't have the cognitive skills to understand what he was doing. You don't have the eye test to see what he was doing all those years. I don't need him to lift the trophy to know that. I've seen him play his whole career. This just essentially means for idiots it cements and confirms it. It was always the case for me. That's why I've doubled down all those years. You know, yeah, did you choke and lose it? Well, how'd it work out now? How's my choking now, dickhead? How's my loser now, dickhead? Where's your cologne now, dickhead? Where's your international lineup now, dickhead? Where's your major and Grand Slam without a world number one contender or GOAT contender? Dickhead. Exactly. By the way, I hope that also highlights how insane Team Liquid's Grand Slam was. That's why, actually, I always have to give some level of credit to Adren, even though I don't know what he did. I don't think he can do nothing and win the title like that. For Rops, I think this is enormous. CSGO's almost over, and he's able to add more championships, more decoration, before we go to CS2, where he's got a chance to be one of the best players or the best player ever. I think this is cool for me, because last year, I thought he somewhat being chilled, and they won those titles, and he was sort of like the insurance policy they didn't always have to invoke. The issue for all phase stars is none of them are going to look as sick as a simple hard carry performance. They're not even, let's be real, as consistently like you stand out from the pack as Devices were when he was in Astralis. Don't let anyone convince you otherwise. Go look at the numbers. Go look at the games. He was the best player, most tournaments, tournament in, tournament out, and won the MVPs, rightfully so. I think the best thing he ever did, Rops, was say, even though I could get more money elsewhere, I could get the same money or slightly more here at Mouse, I'm just going to go to this team with Carrigan, because if I play with Carrigan, that's how I'm going to win. So he got back to Carrigan, and unlike Nico, this guy gets it, and so he gets to get all the championships. Fucking awesome. Great lesson for stars out there. Then you look at Twists. He's able to realise some of that incredible potential he always had. I think I said back in 2017 something like, he is the best mechanical NA player ever. And this was before they won all the championships. It's just obvious. He's in probably the prime of his career, if you look at his career overall and the level now. I just think the problem is, this whole thing of like, well, that makes him instantly the GOAT and there's no discussion. It's just clear you're a moron if you say that. No, you're the moron. You're the one who's unclear. You're the one who hasn't made any case. I think it's appalling when people do that. Because again, was he the one who won all those other tournaments? Go watch the episode I did with Mouse Nick. I make a pretty good case against it. I actually point out where facts, yeah, it's not true sometimes. This is not as bad, though, as when Stewie won the Grand Slam. People are like, well, a major in the Grand Slam, he is the greatest NA player of all time. No, the most decorated. The most decorated. Like, is Ron Harper a greater player in basketball than fucking Karl Malone? Of course he isn't. But he's way more decorated. Like, what conversation are we having here? So, yeah, as I say, me and Maui went into the weeds on that one. I think it was a pretty great discussion. It wasn't even a debate. It was a discussion about all the points around the players. If it's well-received, maybe we'll do a future one for certain other matchups of greats that you might want to have. Now, for Brocky, his resume is just insane. Now, I didn't see this coming. I could see he was a good player. He's someone with potential. But especially as an AWPer, he's not a traditional AWPer. So you thought, well, never going to be able to make success. Because normally, if they build around an AWPer, they don't have to build around Brocky. That's the crazy thing. Now, remember, this guy used to play with Nico. Imagine saying in 2019, by the way, when CSGO ends, one of these players, Brocky or Nico, has like a Grand Slam, Major, won loads of tournaments, Team of the Year, like top rate, wins MVP at big, like you'd say it's Nico. It's like, man, well, you're actually wrong. It was Brocky. All right, well, in that case, then Brocky must have become a better player than Nico. No, he didn't. Actually, yeah, Nico was the better player. This is just why your career is so much more than your individual play. If you're talking purely about titles, it's about how it's GM'd, about what decisions you make, about what teammates you end up with, what form they're in. There are so many variables out of your control, for fuck's sake. And quite frankly, the most impressive thing about Brocky is that he did it all as a non-traditional AWPer. He's still the AWPer because he found the perfect team setup where they don't need all the AWPer. In fact, on T-side, they can just run the rifles, can't they? So it's like he has the space and he has the range to make his style work. If you put Brocky at all ranges an AWPer normally goes at, he wouldn't be as good. You let him go mid-range and move around and be very mobile and take fast flick shots, then he's going to do a lot, hence why he wins all those 1vXs. And by the way, he still wins all the 1vXs. He is so clutch now. I think year on year, he's gotten better and better and better at that. And he is a contender for best clutch player in the world. He even gets, like, in the same way as great goal scorers also get all the easy ones and the lucky ones too. He gets the little tap-ins and the headers and it bounces off your knee. He even wins all those 1v1s where it's like, he didn't really do anything. He was just the last one alive, but he's always there and he always closes it out. So it's no wonder that this team is complete when they're at their peak. And then you've got who? Rain, the fourth best player. This guy's a soldier who got rewarded with all the spoils at the end of his career. That's so satisfying a narrative. He is way too good for his age, his role, and his experience level. This guy, like, the joke is, there are times in games he's contending for MVP, and sometimes in tournaments he can even do it, which shouldn't be possible from the position he's in and with the people he's playing with. And then I'll just mention him because no one does. If you look at Robban, here's where I'll give Robban some credit. They were able, again, to close out key maps and to be able to come back into certain map scenarios and overcome first halves or weird starts from the other team. I think this guy just does an excellent job smoothing out all the wrinkles, keeping everyone on track, keeping everyone with the same goal. He just, whatever he does, it works, doesn't it? So FaZe is one of the best lineups to ever play CS. They're one of the most exciting and entertaining. I think the most exciting or entertaining since Fnatic 2015. Yeah, there are less titles and opportunities in this era, but that's actually why it's more impressive that they've won so many and won the Major and the Grand Slam and all the big titles. It actually makes it way more impressive. I think this runs mega underrated. People are acting like this is the circuit where you play 30 lands and then they just happen to win like 5 or 6 titles. No, this is like where you play like 12 lands and they win 5 or 6. That's bonkers. That's insane, guys. So yeah, mad props. Now, I think winning this tournament, I already had them as a contender at all these tournaments anyway, but it absolutely puts them back in contention for number one spot in the world. They are a real contender to win the Major and go back to back, which would be a big deal because it's the last one of CSGO and a chance for this lineup to finish the game on 2 Majors. That would be big. The only other lineups that were identical that won multiple Majors was Fnatic, Astralis and SK. Envy changed players in the middle, obviously. Now, you can earn 1% back on bets using the Watch to Earn feature of EsportsBet. Check out the website esportsbet.io for more details. The Beatles said they get by with a little help from their friends, but I get by with a little help from my Patreon community. And this video was kindly supported by Matt Pugnaccio-Rakula, Ahmed Haju, ButPounder420, Toucan, Animosity, Tobias Bernasconi, Jensen Gore, Tosh, and a special thanks always goes out to my main man, Jerky's Minion. Would you like to ask me a question in my monthly video AMA? Do you want teasers to find out who are the upcoming guests? Maybe you want to take part in one of those lengthy but intense esports discussions I have with my donators, or maybe you want to suggest a guest or a topic that I could cover. Well, if any of those tickle your fancy, put your money where your mouth is and join the Skrilluminati today, where in the description box below there is a Patreon link.